Brothers and sisters, we continue with the last Jum'ah's narration of Abu Musa that is recorded by Ibn Majah and classed as authentic by Al-Albani, in which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the similitude of the heart is like is that like a feather that is blown by the winds in an open land. We started listing things that can lead the heart to instability and fluctuation. And we will continue today with other factors that can influence the heart and affect it and make it unstable. One of the things Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran is wives and children. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. O you who believe, amongst your wives and children are enemies for you, so be careful. Beware of them. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, this verse was revealed about a group of Muslims in Mecca who were about to migrate to Medina, and their wives and children said, you gave up our faith and we remain silent, but don't depart from us physically and leave us alone. So they refrained from hijrah. So Allah revealed this verse. Mujahid, may Allah have mercy on him, said, love of one's wife and children can lead him to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal and sever ties with kinfolks out of love to them. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth and your children are but a trial. So the fitna of children, wealth, and wives is something that can lead a person to deviate and become unstable in his heart and fluctuate. Another matter is lust for authority. Opportunists and those who long to have power wait to see which opportunity they can utilize are usually fluctuating in their hearts. As Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ. They wait and watch you. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. So if Allah grants you victory, قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They say, were we not with you? وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَصِيبٌ. And if the disbelievers have the success, قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَنَمْنَعْكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Did we not have an advantage over you, an upper hand over you during the battle? But yet we protected you from the believers. So they sit and watch. As Shaykh al-Sa'di said, they look for the opportunity. Which one is better? And they're ready with an answer for either of the two. One story in history is about a man with the name of Ar-Rajjal ibn Unfuwah from Bani Hanifa, from the tribe of Hanifa. This man went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepted Islam, and went back to Bani Hanifa, to his tribe. And did not return to Medina until after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. And then the issue of Musaylam al-Kadhab, Musaylama who claimed prophethood, came up. And people of Yamama started following him. They started apostating and leaving Islam and joining Musaylama. So this Ar-Rajjal went to Abu Bakr and said, why don't you send me to the people of Yamama? Perhaps I can make those who are still on their faith, on Islam, remain steadfast. So Abu Bakr agreed. And this man set off and went to Al-Yamama. And as soon as he arrived and saw the huge number of those who are following Musaylama, he thought to himself, this man is going to be victorious. These are the group who will win. So the opportunity says, join them, which he did. He left Islam and he joined Musaylama. Musaylama was very generous to him. Why? Because he was a man who saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who heard the Quran from him. And the man started lying, claiming to people that he heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Musaylama is coming after me, which made people go and join Musaylama in large numbers. This news was reaching Medina and people became enraged with this man particularly. And amongst the people of the companions radiallahu anhum was a man by the name of Zayd ibn al-Khattab. He was furious with this Ar-Rajjal. So when the battle took place between the believers and Musaylama and his army, Zayd was looking for Ar-Rajjal. And he saw him, he spotted him from a distance. He penetrated the rows of both the believers and the disbelievers and went and beheaded the man. So the man took the wrong opportunity. But again, being an opportunist, lusting and loving authority is something that can make you fluctuate and go out of the fold of Islam altogether. Another disease of the heart that can make you fluctuate and unstable, make your heart change very easily, is arrogance and self-conceit. See, what caused a shaytan to be cursed and go to Jahannam? It's his arrogance. Right? A man by the name of Janabah ibn al-Ayham al-Ghassani. This Janabah was the last king of the tribe of Ghassan. The tribe of Ghassan is an Arabic tribe. It's an old tribe, Arabic tribe that was Christian. When he felt that he's going to be defeated, he communicated with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and took permission from him to come to Medina and join him as a Muslim. Umar radiallahu anhu welcomed the idea very much and sent him a letter back welcoming him, and he said, you get what we get and what's on us is on you. So you're welcomed. So this man marched from his land to Al-Madina with 500 horsemen. When they were about to reach Medina, they became very close. He put a crown on his head and he took out some garments that had gold and silver on them and dressed all his soldiers. So that was something to be seen. When he entered Medina, nobody remained in their house. Even children and women went out on the street to look at this astonishing caravan of gold and silver and crowns and so on and so forth. So he went to Umar. Umar sat him right next to him and welcomed him and was very hospitable. The season of Hajj came and he said to Umar that he wanted to go to Hajj. So he said, go. He went to Hajj, and during Tawaf, a man from the tribe of Fazara stepped on his lower garment and made it loose. It was about to drop. So the man grabbed it, this Jabala, grabbed it and turned around to the other man and punched him in the nose and smashed his nose. So this poor man says, Hajj. After Hajj, he went to Umar and complained. So Umar called him. He can't make a judgment without hearing the other party. Umar called him and he said, what made you, while in Tawaf, smash your brother's nose? He wanted to know if it's true or not. If it wasn't true, he would say, I didn't do it. He said, well, I was doing Tawaf and this man stepped on my lower garment and set it loose and almost dropped. And by Allah, had it not been for the sanctity of the Haram, I would have beheaded him. He said, Umar did not react to his statement, but took what he wanted from it, which is him confessing that he's done what he's done. He said, now that you've confessed to this, it's either that you make your brother content, you do something to please your brother and make him forgive you, or I will hold you, meaning the soldiers, yeah, I will hold you and make him take revenge from you. Equal revenge. He said, subhanallah, I thought that when I come into Islam, I will become more honorable. How can you do this when I am a king? King. Right? See the arrogance here? When I am a king, and he's a layman, he said, leave this alone. This talk doesn't benefit you. Allah Azza wa Jal made one scale in Islam. It is your piety with Allah Azza wa Jal. King and layman doesn't matter. You either make your brother content and pleased, or I will make him take revenge from you. He said, then I will go back to Christianity. He said, then I will have to behead you. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. Whoever changes his faith from Islam, kill him. He said, then, okay, give me respite. Give me until tomorrow. Let me think about it. He said, that's yours. Go. And overnight, this man took his horsemen and went to Al-Qusaldiniyah and became Christian again. Went back to Christianity. See how arrogance does? See his self-conceit. What it did to him, it made him leave Islam. He went and leave the fold of Islam. Another matter that influences the heart is the issue of sincerity. When one is not sincere, when he's working for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he's sacrificing for Allah Azza wa Jal, that's very destructive and affects the heart tremendously. And Imam al-Bukhari reported in his Sahih, as narrated by Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi al-Ansari. He said, we were in a battle with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were fighting, and at the end of the day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his camp and the disbelievers went to their camp. But there was one man who went after the disbelievers, killing anyone whom he could see. So the companions watching him said, no one gave due right to the sword. No one did better than this man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around to them and he said, he is from the people of hell. SubhanAllah, brothers, sisters, Think about this for a second here. This man was with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This man was in jihad, the peak of Islam, the highest rank of Islam. And this man was going with his sword left and right in the enemies of Allah who were fighting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet, none of that benefited him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Huwa min ahli an-nar," he's from the people of hell. So one of the companions said, "I will not leave this man. I will be his shadow." So he started accompanying this man. He went left, he would go left with him. He went right, he would hasten. He slowed down, he would slow down. Until at the end, this man was injured. A severe injury which he could not tolerate. So he put the tip of his sword on his chest and the bottom of his, the handle of the sword on the ground and leaned on the sword until the sword penetrated his body and he killed himself. So the man rushed back to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah." Qala wa ma dhak? Why are you saying that at this time? You testified to this long time ago. Why are you saying this? So he said, "Remember the man who told us he's from the people of hell?" He said, "Yes," and then he narrated the story of the man. At that time, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ A man would be doing the actions, performing the deeds of the people of paradise. As far as people can see, they don't know what's inside. As to what's apparent outwardly, he is from the people of Jannah, whilst in fact he will be from the people of hell. And the opposite, a man will be doing the actions and the deeds of those who are from the people of hell, as far as people can tell, whilst he is in fact from the people of paradise. Al-Qasqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, said regarding this hadith, he said, "This man is not sincere. He did not go out for jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the sake of Allah, for the sake of making the word of Allah supreme, for the sake of making the religion of Allah victorious." And thus, this fluctuation happened, and he died the way he died. Alhamdulillah ala ihsanihi wa shukru lahu ala tawfiqihi wa amtinanihi. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ta'ziman li shani. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وإخوانه وبعد. Trying to please people leads a person to compromise in his faith and meet midway. See, the Quraysh knew the danger of this concept, compromising and meeting midway, right? And they tried with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give up some of his beliefs, and they would give up something, and right? But Allah azza wa jal warned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Don't obey the deniers. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُوا. They wish that you would compromise some of your position, you would soften some of your position or your stance towards them. فَيُدْهِنُوا, say they would compromise and soften towards you. And this is a very dangerous matter which many people many callers to Islam, many of the dua, slip into compromising under the pretext of being wise, calling others to Islam and showing tolerance, where in fact they're giving up part of the faith in the course of being tolerant and wise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is reported by Imam Tirmidhi and classed as authentic by Al-Albani and narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever pleases Allah and in return he displeases people, Allah will suffice him the need of people. And another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will be pleased with him and will make people pleased with him. The other side, he said, and whoever pleases people, and that entails displeasing Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will make his affairs in the hands of others. The other narration said, Allah Azza wa Jal will be displeased with him and make people displeased with him. So this means giving up, compromising, softening for the sake of people, to please people under any pretext, is going to have an opposite result than what you seek. You're not going to achieve what you want. The only loss you will have is your heart. The only loss that you will have is your heart. It will fluctuate. Because see, you compromise now 5%. After a year it becomes 10. 10 years from now you look back and you see you only have 10% of your faith. That's what fluctuation does. Another matter is eagerness to have fame and honor. Fame and honor is destructive to one's faith. As the Prophet said, Ka'b ibn Malik al-Ansari, and this is also reported by a Tirmidhi class as authentic by Al-Albani. Ka'b ibn Malik narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, It is less corruptive and evil for two hungry wolves to be released in a flock of sheep. This is less destructive and corruptive and evil. Can you imagine what two hungry wolves will be doing to a flock of sheep when they're set free to do what they want? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is less destructive and corruptive and evil than the corruption caused to one's religion when he is keen on acquiring honor and wealth. For the sake of acquiring this honor and wealth and fame, one would be willing to give up anything. And thus his heart will never be stable on the faith of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. One thing that many people suffer from nowadays that causes the heart to fluctuate and be unstable is delusions. See, many people make themselves imprisoned and hostages to fear-driven thoughts and emotions. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of death, being killed, being imprisoned, being tortured, being raped. And they start giving up their values for these fear-driven thoughts and emotions, and they're none but nothing but illusions and delusions. But one convinces himself that there are realities that tell him that this is going to happen, and this fear is going to happen, and that's going to take place, and that's going to afflict you, and this hardship is going to befall you, and he starts acting accordingly. And he will give up this, and give up that, and give up this, and give up that, and before you know it, he might end up denying Islam altogether because of these delusions. Another issue that's also widespread is being attached to people, not being attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لا يكن أحدكم إمعة. Let none of you be an إمعة. They said, what's an إمعة? He said, it's a man. Well, an إمعة is a weak personality person who follows anything, who gives in to anyone. He said, it is a person who said, well, if people around me are guided, I'll be guided. If they're misguided, I'll be also misguided with them. Then he said, فَلْيَعْزِمْ أَحَدُكُمْ. Let one of you be determined, إِذَا كَفَرَ النَّاسَ أَلَّا يَكْفُرُ. That if people disbelieve, he will remain firm, he will remain stable, and will not disbelieve. Some people are attached to a shaykh, to a group, to a sect. Right? And if this group, shaykh, man, father, whatever it is, goes right, they go right. If he goes left, they go left. If he leaves Islam, they leave Islam. He goes back to Islam, they go back to Islam. That's why Ibn Mas'ud himself, radiallahu anhu, said, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مُسْتَنًّا فَلْيَسْتَنَّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتِ. If one of you wants to take an example to follow into their footsteps, then let him select one who has died. Because a live person is always subjected to trials and you don't know what's going to happen. Finally, not supplicating Allah Azza wa Jalla. Umm Salama, Ummuna, the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha, said about the dua which the Prophet supplicated the most, and this is in the book of Tirmidhi, classed as authentic by Al-Albani. She said, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen. O you who control the hearts, fluctuates the hearts, make my heart steadfast on your faith or on your religion. Shaykh ibn Baz rahmatullahi alayhi was asked a question once about why is it that many people who return to practice shortly after they go back and stop commitment to Islam? He said, because of the lack of supplication. They do not supplicate Allah Azza wa Jal, or they don't supplicate Him enough to help them and their hearts remain firm and steadfast on faith. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make our hearts stable on His faith.